The only
All right.
Well, I'll make some up. I'm not past doing that.
Well, you know what? You can wait for the week before the call.
No, I'll make some good ones up.
Okay.
I'll make up that.
Don't defraud me now, Mac.
No, but I can. I'll make a. I can be easy. No. The
yeah.
So all right. Well, let me play some news art.
Okay.
How's the weather? Good, bad, indifferent?
Weather's been a little chilly. It was 40 degrees yesterday morning. It warms up to 70 yesterday and high 70s today, and then we're back in the thick of the 80s and 90s starting tomorrow. It's been a pretty great summer.
What
here,
weather-wise. No tornado stuff?
Not around here. I don't know what it is about living up here now.
It's the fork in the river. Don't kid yourself.
I know it's the fork in the river, but, you know, how do you explain that to people that don't live in this area
and
see everything going north and south of us?
you just tell them straight up. It's the fork in the river.
They don't call it the forks for nothing, baby.
Exactly. All right. I'll let me play the intro and we'll fake it. All right. You ready?
You got it.
All right.
Good music.
Really? We're going to go there?
I don't hear a thing, baby.
All right, just shut the fuck up, all right? All right, you're here now, so don't say shit. All right, I'm turning your mic off right now.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
On a Friday, Steppenwolf, some righteous music. And joining me is a righteous chef in his own right, Kimball Holmes. Kim, what's up? Hello?
Hello?
You're supposed to talk, man.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you not hear me?
Yes, you're very faint, but I can hear you, baby.
You can hear me faint?
Yeah, my man. That's my man.
Can you hear me better now?
Oh, God bless you.
Wow, well, that's interesting. All right.
Yeah.
All right, well...
Hey, Mac, it's called the volume control knob.
You're pushing it, all right? It's going to go well, I can tell.
No, it is. It's going to go great, baby.
All right. First of all, give us the health report. How you feeling? Are you making progress? Are you being good? Are you being disciplined? Okay, because
I'm being very disciplined. My diet is good. No sodium. And I'm down about 28 pounds.
Holy smokes! What'd you do? Cut your ankle off?
No.
Oh,
that
wow.
Sewed my mouth shut.
28 pounds. So, first of all, Kim, tell everybody how old you are.
74.
Okay, and everybody says when, as you get older, it's not easy to lose weight, yet you have seemed to have done okay. How do you lose weight like that when you're 74? Have your wife sew your mouth shut?
Yeah, well, besides that, it's not eating junk food like KFC or anything like that. And it's portion control is the main thing. A lot of salads. You got to mix your carbs and your protein and I have to be disciplined in a balanced diet. Like, I'll have oatmeal and a banana in the morning.
People say that as you get older, certainly over 60, that it becomes very, very difficult to lose weight. And you're saying you lost 28 pounds at the age of 74.
Yeah. Well, it's just a matter of, it helped to spend those first 3 days in the hospital.
Hospital always pretty good for weight loss.
Yeah, and get the shit scared out of me.
Mm-hmm.
With my lungs full of fluid, and after that was drained, that was 10, 11 pounds right there in liquid.
Yeah, not to mention, getting the shit scared out of you is good for a few pounds as well.
That is, and I was drinking like a couple of almost gallon and a half gallon of water a day,
mm-hmm.
or liquid a day, and the dietitian said, cut that shit out. You go back to 8 to 10 cups of liquid a day, and that includes if you have Jell-O or milk.
Oh, really?
Or whatever it is. But a total liquid consumption is 8 to 10 cups a day.
Oh.
And that's not a lot. And that's been a big deal. And, when I'm thirsty, I'll have a drink. But I used to go to bed with a quart of water by my bed, and I'd pretty much... when I got up to pee, and I was peeing all the time. Well, guess what that was from?
Hello?
Drinking all that liquid. And I was just a pee machine. And that's not how it flows now.
Really? Well, good for you.
It's a more human flow, probably you.
You read people that say that if you want to lose weight, drink a gallon of water a day or drink 2 gallons of water a day, and all you do with the excess is you pee it out, and the extra hydration is good for your body. And it's kind of interesting that your dietitian would say don't do that. Be normal.
Well, because I have a heart condition,
mm-hmm.
and fluids build up on the heart, and I had to take my salt consumption down to 1 teaspoon a day, period, in everything. And you know how little a teaspoon is.
That's not much.
But darn right it's not much. And that's been a issue, me watching the salt and my consumption of liquid. And with the diabetes and, you know, and my age, you just have to change your, I had aged my evil ways.
Got it. All right. Well, that's still a lot of weight, though, 28 pounds, even with all that rolled in, over the age of 60, that's still a lot of weight. All right. So did you bust out the Speedo? It is summer, after all.
No, I don't wear Speedo.
Not yet?
I just, you know, those body painting in Switzerland.
I do. I am familiar with that.
My wife paints my bathing suit on.
Really? Wow, that's interesting.
And she lets me go out on our deck overlooking Third Street and pose.
Nice.
Think of that visual. I hope.
Very nice.
God, I just scared myself.
Baby Shamu with paint job.
Yeah. Oh God.
All right. So what kind of what kind of food are we talking about today?
Today we're going to do a Mexican corn salad. Man, The corn is all over out here. It's delicious, and when it's fresh, this is one dish you can make. And you have the recipe, and you can post that.
Just so everybody knows, if you go to the read board right now and you click on Mexican corn salad, you'll see the recipe. And again, the recipe, courtesy of Miss B, and it looks like it's another one out of Cook's Illustrated. Yes or no?
Yes, it is. Sure is. We just got a brand new one. Beth's niece was visiting, and she gave us a 2-year script to it.
Wow.
And
look at you.
Yeah. And so we just got the first one the other day, and I'm thumbing through it, and I'm thinking, oh, God, it's corn season. It's corn season all over this country now. And this is a roasted corn salad,
All right, hold on one second before we get to the corn salad. I forgot what I was going to say. When would you serve such a thing?
Well, for me, you could serve it with any, you know, enchiladas or chicken or anything. Or you can make it part of a taco or a burrito. You know, I'm thinking, love veggie. You love avocado. So you put a couple slices of avocado. You lay some of this in. A little bit of shredded lettuce. And that's good. It's good with pulled pork, fish tacos. Or just grilled fish. It's a great salad to use for your starch instead of potatoes of any kind.
Okay, so you could lunch or dinner. It's more casual eating than formal eating. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
All right.
And the versatility that I just mentioned with making. Tacos and stuff, and using this as one of the ingredients gives it a whole different direction. But just plain eating it plain is the way to go. It's just got a lot of flavor in it. So see. The fact that the corn is good and you have to buy fresh corn, and we'll get into that whenever you want to. But it takes 6 years of corn to do this recipe,
6 years of corn.
Six years of corn. You take all the husks and the silk off. There's a picture where they're cutting an ear of corn, and you start with holding it vertical,
okay,
and you cut down, straight down, and then you take that ear and you lay it on the cut side, and then you take the tip of a French chef's knife or a santuca, any, you know, like knife like that, and you carve along the edge, and that way the corn won't splatter all over. It'll stay on your cutting board. And 6 years, you want to yield at least 6 cups. And the fact that it's fresh, you want to char it. So you char it in a nonstick Teflon 12-inch pan with a lid. You have to have a lid for this, because it is corn, and it will pop if you don't have a lid on it. And so it'll be flying all over your kitchen otherwise.
Wait, what do you mean it's going to pop? What do you mean it's going to pop?
Well, you know, when you apply high heat to corn, to kernel corn, it has a tendency to explode or turn into popcorn if it's dried, or it could just pop a little bit and jump out of your pan. That's all. Nothing drastic. I'm just
nothing
and
crazy.
You also want the steam from the lid. And after you get all this, you have about 6 cups. And the recipe is really easy to follow. And you do the corn in 2 batches. And to make a crema, that is a Mexican cream, but for our purposes, most of us don't have access to that, so you combine lime juice, sour cream, mayo, and serranos chilies that have been diced, and a little salt, and then you set aside. Okay?
Got it.
But grilling the corn is you grill it, half of it, with a tablespoon of olive oil and high heat. You spread the corn out evenly for 2.5-3 minutes with the lid on. You'll see that the outside of the corn starting to get dark. You take that off the heat. You let it sit for 15 minutes so any popping stops. And then you throw that in a bowl, and then you repeat that process. And then you throw that in a bowl, and then you mix in your crema, your fresh crema that you've made. And then you go about the recipe, sauteing garlic and a little bit of chili powder. And then the cheese we use is called Cojito, C-O-T-I-J-A, Cotita. I'm mispronounced, I'm killing it. But it's like con queso fresca. You know, it comes in a block in the cheese store. And it's kind of a hard, crumbly cheese. And that's the main cheese you're going to use. And you're going to need 4 ounces of that crumbled up, about 1 cup. And then you have cilantro and scallions, sliced scallions thin, fresh cilantro. And you mix all this stuff when the garlic about, that's on medium heat, the garlic, and you do that for until it starts to sweat, and you get fragrant, and then you mix that in with the corn mixture, and then stir it all up, and the recipe is real easy to follow, folks, But this is a dish, when I saw it, I thought, my gosh, everybody needs to have this in their repertoire of fun things to fix. And, you know, you can put that corn salad on a, if you're doing a buffet with enchiladas or tacos or whatever it is, that could be one, a bowl of this corn salad for people to complement their dinners. And, if you just, and that's how I would use it.
All right, give me something. Give me something you'd serve it with.
Okay, I would serve this with grilled fish that you can cook on the grill. You can serve it with a steak. Oh my God, this would be killer side dish for a steak. With some fresh asparagus, you can serve it with any kind of grilled chicken, whether it's barbecued chicken, you know, with the barbecue sauce on it. That mm-hmm. would just be, that would really drive me wild, being able to get my hands all messy with barbecue sauce and have a spoon of this. It would be killer good. And, you know, and if you're, like, you have the big green egg.
Yes.
And you're doing a pork butt.
Yes.
And you know, you throw it on before you go to bed and you take it off in the morning when you get up. And you've got this beautiful pulled pork. And it would be great with that. It would be great with, barbecued ribs. It's, you know, chicken, beef, pork, fish. That's how versatile I think this salad is. I know it is. That's just about it. And, you know, this creme fraiche, the crema, you know, it's sour cream, mayonnaise, Serrano chilies, which are little green ones, very hot. Take the seeds out unless you really like the heat. And lime juice for a little bit of acidity. And, you know, that's all mixed in with this corn mixture. And you could use it as a dip with chips if you wanted to. I just think it's one of the most versatile salads I've run across in a long time.
Wow.
And I just, since we're in salad time, summertime, corn time, I wanted to throw it at everybody. I hope we try it and we'll talk about it next week. But, it's a great recipe for everyone to have. And, you've got it on your webpage. So, knock yourself out, folks, and give it a shot.
What do you like about it the most? So as you're, people may not know this about you, is you're an eater as well as a cooker. So, relative to eating, what do you like about it?
I like the charred flavor of the corn when you cook it in the skillet.
Right.
It doesn't all get charred. If it's just on the bottom. And that's why you only do it for a couple of minutes on high heat. You don't stir it. You leave the lid on. But you, when you put it in the pan, you spread it out all the way. And then you put the lid on right away. And then be patient and watch it. And then take it off. Let it calm down a little bit. And then scrape it in a bowl. But it's that charred corn taste that drives me wild. Yes. And then with that, the crema that we've made.
Yeah.
That combination. Oh, and a little bit of heat, chili. Hello, baby. You're in the front row once again with Kimmy.
Okay. Relative to this, give me a couple of options to do with it if I want to tweak it or jazz it up a little bit. So this, let's just call that what you just went through with us is the base salad. Give me a couple tweaks to it that make it different and interesting.
Okay. You say you want to serve this in a tomato. You core the tomato, and you take about a half a cup or so, and you fill it in where the tomato pulp was, and you can serve that. That's a beautiful, colorful dish. You can serve it with any kind of lettuce salad.
And just dump it in there and dump it on top of it?
Yeah, mix it around with it if you want to. Or you can take a zucchini. And, you know, a zucchini is about 2 inches around. And you cut the zucchini lengthwise. Then you scoop out the seeds. And you can fill that with the corn mixture.
Okay.
And then put it on a cooking sheet.
Okay.
And with a little bit of that cheese crumbled on top, and then on under the broiler for about 2 minutes, a minute or so, to melt the cheese and kind of heat up the zucchini. Or you can take cucumbers, fresh cucumbers, and you can slice them and then fan them around the plate, the salad plate, and put a big scoop of this corn in the middle, or you can, this would be probably the most popular where you are, is you take an avocado.
What do you mean, in North Carolina?
Yeah, North Carolina, right.
That's right.
Yeah, well, good North Carolina. There's nothing better than a North Carolina avocado.
Well, that's where I am. I'm in North Carolina.
Oh, my gosh. You're so versatile, Matt.
I know. I'm a righty. I'm on the right coast now, not the left.
My gosh. You're on the right coast, all right. You know, that would be a nice little topping in the top of an avocado to give it a little, once the seed's out, and then people can spoon out their avocado and get a little bit of that corn mixture in there, or just take the avocado out of the shell and slice it and throw this on top of it, or just slice tomato. The tomatoes right now are killer. I've been eating a lot of local tomatoes that are just only this time of year. Otherwise, it's grocery store stuff. They're very good. They're just whatever you feel like doing it with. You could even put a scoop of this on a hamburger with some raw onion. That could be an interesting combination. Or with a bratwurst, instead of onions.
Okay. I just was looking for a couple variations that you thought would be good. Here's an email for you. Mac, I've heard of Mexican corn before. As a kid, I grew up eating it. A lady in my neighborhood would make it, and it was delicious. But she would take corn, she would put it in a saucepan, she would add milk, I think, and then salt and sugar, if I'm not mistaken, along with butter,
yes.
And she would serve it. It was absolutely delicious. Is Kim familiar with those tricks, and could he talk about it? So,
I assume that the corn if it's raw off the husk,
yeah,
that would be out of this world. If it's a dried corn and she's cooking it and reconstituting it, I don't know about
okay,
that.
Okay, how about this? But, how about if it was just frozen corn? Like, because most of these dishes tend to be pretty pedestrian in nature that taste really good. And a lot of them come out of poorer sections of town that taste really good. And so how about just frozen or canned corn in this recipe that we're talking about here that make Mexican, quote-unquote Mexican corn, and there's probably about a million different versions of it. But so if you're just using just corn out of a can and you're going to make something like this, what are the recipes that you've seen that make corn like that, or do you not know?
Well, the first thing, whether it's frozen or out of a can, you have to drain it and then with a paper towel, pat it dry. Not squeeze the moisture out of it, but just get the brine that they're in or any water that from a frozen corn.
So no Bismarck press on the corn?
No, please don't. Don't do this to me. Yeah. No.
What do you mean?
Yeah, but as long as it's relatively dry when you throw it in the saute pan with the olive oil on the high and put the lid on it, you'll get similar results, a little different because it is pre-cooked. So maybe it only takes 2 minutes instead of three.
Got it.
So, but yes, you can certainly use canned and frozen corn. You just have to drain them properly.
All right. I can live with that. There was a woman I grew up, her name was Pearl Galbraith. She was from Yuba City, California. Her father was a migrant farm worker, and let me tell you something. She introduced me, and you and I have talked about it before, to the fried bologna sandwich, if you've never had it.
Oh.
Hello.
That is one of God's gifts. And the bologna has to be at least a quarter of an inch thick when you fry it.
She made it from, like, Oscar Mayer regular bologna. And, and she used, and again, this is very pedestrian, right? And she used a slice of American cheese. And, she grilled the bologna that always had a little black on it. But man, oh man, did it taste good.
Well, that's the whole point of when you fry bologna is to get a little char on the bologna. Now, you can go to a butcher store and say, I want my bologna cut a quarter of an inch thick because I'm going to make fried bologna sandwiches. And then you can get a great char on it and cook it all the way through and then put your cheese on there and then slap it between two slices of bread and have at it, baby.
But I think she did something similar because her corn was delicious and she served it a lot. She would serve it a lot with, how would she serve it? She made incredible enchiladas. She made incredible tamales, but it seemed like, you know, there was rice and beans and corn was the vegetable of choice that she certainly used. And so, but I do remember when I look at the pan, it had milk in it. I know that. I don't know what else she put in it. I would imagine some combination of butter, salt, and pepper. And I don't know, but he said sugar. I
was going to say, I bet you it's sugar and salt and butter. So maybe a teaspoon of sugar and a teaspoon of salt with the corn and the milk. And remember, back in our day, you know, when we were growing up, whole milk was what they served. There wasn't 1% or 2% or skim. There was whole milk. And that's a heavier product, and it has a tendency to reduce a little bit, too. So it makes it thicker.
Can you taste it? Can you taste if something's been made with whole milk?
Yes, I can.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's milk that's whole has a richer flavor and not a watery flavor. Sometimes skim milk, you know, just like water with white food coloring in it. But it's better than that. But yeah, you can taste between, I don't know that I can say I can taste 1 or 2%. One or the other.
Yeah, I'm talking. Can you taste whole? Well, if something's made with whole milk, would you?
I'm pretty sure I could. Yes.
I would think it would be
the texture of the finished product and how thick it was you know, that's how I could tell. And then the taste would be fuller, would taste more like a whole milk as opposed to a skim or 1%.
Okay. All right. Well, I know. I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. And but, again, she I used to love when we'd get invited over to her house. Because her food was always tasted delicious. You know, some people can serve hoity-toity food, and then some people can make it taste great. Everything they serve, everything she made tasted good. Everything, right?
So, and she used, in her beans, she used lard.
What's the difference? Because Mike talked
lard
about...
Lard is pork fat. Pork fat.
Right. Why is that so good for cooking? Because Mike said that his grandma used to make tortillas with lard, and they were the best. Yeah. Why does that make a difference?
The flavor, fact that it's not processed, it's natural, and it's also not very healthy if. You're not used to eating it. Lard. You can taste lard in refried beans. They have a richness to it, a porky flavor that lard brings out in refried beans as opposed to oil or Crisco or something like that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It's Mexican food is godlike, and you were blessed to be able to have meals like that from a woman who knew how to cook it properly.
To this day. It's always a little bit of a treat when you're gonna get something to eat, and you say, okay, let's just go find a small Mexican place that we've never been to. Let's go find a small Mexican place and let's just go there. And so we'll go do that. And some of the food you get out of those places are phenomenal, and they tend to be family restaurants. With family recipes, and food sometimes will just blow you away, knock you out.
Well, not sometimes, every time. When you get, there's a restaurant about 25 miles east of here in Crookston, you know, Matt, that is a little family grocery store, and I haven't been able to, I just heard about it a few months ago, and I'm dying to get over there and have at it. With their home cooking.
No, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But I'm, you know, in California, you can't get away from Mexican food, but if you like it, I mean, those little places have just these. And the other thing I've learned to watch for is if you see a little place and there's just a ton of people standing out in front of it, there's a reason. And especially if they're fat, there's a reason fat people are standing outside for food, okay? And it's not because it sucks, okay? Fat people, okay, they don't like to be on their feet that long, okay? If they're standing outside waiting for food, it's because the food is off the hook. So just so as you're driving around, there's a little life tip for Mac, your buddy Mac, that look for fat people.
And it's so true.
Pay attention to what fat people are doing.
Yeah. Get in there as soon as you can and as quickly as you can.
Well, you know, I found a place in San Clemente, California like that. I found another place in Los Angeles. Both Mexican places, shocker, and the one in Los Angeles was, and they're nothing to look at, right? We were talking about how many sushi, and you were explaining, you know, sushi restaurants don't need a lot of infrastructure, you know, to make money, and so that's why you see them in all these strip malls, because they don't need huge kitchens to produce food and create revenue, and so. But these are both, you know, restaurants. And, one is in West LA, and I was on my way to do something and wasn't far from where I was living. And I saw it the first time and I was like, whoa. And then when I saw it the second time, I just remember I burned it into my brain and said, I've got to go there, and went there, and the food was awesome. And then, it happened, in San Clemente, before the one in West LA happened, I was driving down the Coast Highway through San Clemente, and at the northern part of San Clemente, kind of a hill that goes down and you head towards Capistrano, for those of you who are in the San Clemente, Southern California area, it is right, it's near the peak, it's near Pico Boulevard. So anyway, or it might be Pico Avenue, but there's a Pico in Los Angeles. I think it's Pico Boulevard. I think Pico Avenue is in, or Avenida de Pico is in San Clemente. Anyhow, driving around, and you see all these people standing on the sidewalk. And I look, and they're standing outside of a restaurant called La Siesta. And they have great food. So yeah, just a little life tip. Right, they're standing around waiting to eat. Normally, it's pretty good food,
and they're waiting for you, baby.
Park that
car and get in line.
What's your favorite? Mexican food dish?
Huevos rancheros.
So, if I said you could order one thing Mexican food, you're having huevos rancheros.
Yes.
That's interesting. Mine is seafood enchiladas with good seafood in them. It's crab, preferably crab, and preferably a crab enchilada. But that's my favorite, with some white sauce and rice and beans. And if they don't have a good seafood enchilada, it would be chicken enchiladas. So I'm kind of an enchilada guy.
Yeah, I like enchiladas. I like the red sauce and the green sauce. They call it the Christmas tree when you put both colors on there. And that can go on anything. If I can get it on my huevos. Now, huevos, the way I like it, you get a corn tortilla. You put refried beans on it. You put cheese on it. You have a couple of fried eggs, a little pico de gallo, and then your enchilada sauce, and then fried potatoes with that, and chorizo sausage. and then you're set for the day, maybe all day. But that's my favorite go-to meal if I can get it, is huevos rancheros. And everybody makes a difference, so that's another beautiful thing, is you don't know what version you're going to get. But that's my favorite.
All right. The grilling seafood question. A couple weeks ago, Mac, I heard you guys talk about grilling seafood and the problems posed when you don't have skin to support the fish. I tend to use a foil boat. Is that something that the chef does when there is no skin? How does he crack that nut? So skinless fish on the grill, how do you do it?
Okay. I will take a piece of foil, I'll duck it up so it's two thickness on the bottom. Then I'll take maybe, say I'm cooking salmon fillet,
okay,
or a red snapper.
Okay.
And I take lemon slices real thin and lay them on top of the foil first. And then you can put a little bit, then you put your fish on top of those lemon slices. And then whatever seasoning you want to put on top of the fish, and maybe some green onions in there, or squeeze a little lemon juice. It's not necessary because you have lemons underneath.
Okay.
And that'll keep the fish from sticking to the foil also. And then you seal it, because we're going to steam it. And then you seal the top and the ends, and you throw it on there, and it's not going to take more than 3 to 5 minutes, depending on the thickness of the fish. And then you pull it off, and then you open it up, and there's this beautiful steamed fish. And that's my favorite way to do it when there's no skin on it. And in fact, I used to do that sometimes when I had big parties at the restaurant. I'd do a whole side of salmon, like maybe 6-7 pound side of salmon, and I'd do that with the foil and put it on the sheet pan. They have onions, green onions and sliced tomatoes underneath, and maybe some herbs, tarragon, or I used to like boursin herbs or herb blend, sprinkled on top of the fish before I sealed it shut. But yes, that's a great way to cook fish, that doesn't have anything to hold it together. In fact, I recommend doing it that way. So.
All right. That's interesting. No, you and I have talked, and I think you've made it smart about how, you can use, the skin is such an integral part if you're going to grill fish. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What about, let's talk real quick. Salmon planks are pretty popular. You can give a couple pointers here in a second, relative to wood planks. But, certainly if you have skinless fish, another technique you might want to consider. Yes?
Yes. Yes. Skinless, but when you do cedar planks and you get them wherever you get them, you can get them at food stores, they're very expensive. Or you can go to your lumber yard and have and give you cedar planks. And you don't want thick planks. If you can get them like a shingle, that kind of cedar, that's fantastic. Or maybe half an inch to an inch cedar planks. But you have to soak them and submerge them in water for a minimum of a half an hour, because that's what's going to keep the cedar from burning when you throw it on the high grill. and it's going to create the smoke, the cedar smoke, because it's going to steam, and it will also steam your fish. So there is a big tip, but you have to soak the cedar planks. And a half an inch to an inch is the perfect size cedar plank. And, but you, you know, put a brick on them and then submerge them all. And, if you're going to a lumber yard, have them, cut them, you know, not, you don't want too big. You know, maybe a foot at the longest to put a few pieces of fish on there. And that's about it.
All right. Yeah, I did not soak mine long enough the first time, and I could not figure out why this is not going to go well. The wood's going to catch on fire. Like, how does this work? So, yeah, just a little pointer there.
That's the art form, 30 minutes to an hour under water, and then you will create smoke, and don't be putting the grill up and checking it every 2 minutes. Just let the smoke from the cedar plank do its work. And it'll be done in, you know, 5 minutes, depending on your thickness of your fish again. Could be longer.
Okay, now, is it my mind, or were you going to go see Mission Impossible?
I did go see Mission Impossible. Tuesday.
Let's have a little review. I mean, Tom Cruise, a little bit hard on the indigestion or on the digestive system. Okay. And, he is an actor. And so what'd you think of the movie?
Well, I still like Risky Business the best. No, I thought the movie had more action than the last one. My wife loves Tommy, calls him Tommy baby. And
come on, even the jumping up and down on Oprah's couch. I mean, what a phony loser. You can never come back from that.
Well, I had forgotten it until you brought it up.
see how I am? I never forget stuff like that.
No, and nor should you. That's your job. But the thing that I like about this movie is that I saw the last one and I said, now how in the hell is he going to get more action in this movie than that? And he did.
Yep.
I thought, good movie.
Right.
But I don't know how many more he's got in him. That's for sure.
So were you?
He's done 6 or 7 of them.
When you, could you explain the toque rating system? It's 1 through 5 toques. That way we have a 1 is a don't waste your time. 3 is right in the middle, so that's average, and 5 is super. So, and a toque is what they call the chef's hat, yes?
Yes. The French call the chef's hat. That's a big white, pillbox that sits on your head. That's called a toque. T-O-U-Q-U-E.
Okay.
And I would give this movie, probably 4 maybe.
4 toques. 4 out of, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it a 5 because I just, it just, you know, it's good. It's really good, and it's definitely worth seeing.
Okay,
so if you like Tom Cruise.
If you like action.
But I would. What's that?
If you like action movies, go see this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely would recommend it. And it's pretty good. It's damn good.
All right. We'll take that under advisement. All right, you got any big plans for the weekend?
You know what? We're not. I got more blood work tomorrow, and it's shit never ends.
those medical people see you and they see a dollar sign with feet walking in.
All they do is say, oh, Medicare, Blue Cross Blue Shield supplement.
Thank you.
Got you covered.
Thank you. Thank you. Right this way. Right this way.
Got your heart. Well, you just keep a ticket for a few more years, baby, and I'm a happy camper.
We're going to get it all out of you. Oh, wow. You know, you've maxed that out. Geez, just in time because we don't have any more tests for you for at least 6 months. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Well, it's just the way it is, and it's in stages. I've been pretty free for the last few years, having to do not a whole lot of doctoring. So, it's just this time right now, and that's just the way it is. You live with it. No big deal.
All right.
Now, are you with, Finn?
No. My friend, did his change of command, here in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and Major General Dave Furness is now the commanding general of the 2nd Marine Division. So he's got a great buddy of mine every time I ever deploy.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's just fun. You know, we were at his house and with a bunch of us, and it's, I don't know, I was describing it. It's like a good leather baseball glove that, you know, it just fits. It just, when you're with your friends and you've gone through so much, there's a incredible familiarity there. And it doesn't matter how long it's been since you've seen each other. It's a very warm place. So so it feels good. I for a woman, it would be like your best leather skirt that doesn't, that fits. Okay. So, you put it on, it just feels good. So, yeah, that's how I describe
it. Good for you.
No, it's been awesome. My friends are great. They're great guys, and they tend to be doing really good things, either with their family or in business or in communities or still in the Marine Corps, a bunch of them. So it's certainly a lot of fun to spend time with them. So, and then we're not able to get together that much. So, when we are, it's pretty cool. So I haven't seen some of them in years. And so it's been wonderful. It's been wonderful. So, after the show today, I'll hop in the car and I'll go have lunch in the Winston-Salem area of North Carolina with, one of my old Marines, Lance Corporal Kevin Calhoun. And, I have some of his abstract art that, in my house now. And so, Hoon, as he's known to his friends, was one of my favorites, and so going to get a chance to see him. Haven't seen him since 1994, but we stayed in touch. Yeah, stayed in touch, and it's going to be awesome to see him. And then I think it's about another 4-hour drive to Quantico, and so have lunch with Kevin Calhoun, and then head up to the Quantico area and stay there till I come home next Thursday. So so again, pretty exciting and a lot of fun.
Well, you will see your son, right?
Oh yeah, I'm staying with him.
You give him all my love, will you please?
I will. I will tell him that you send all of them your love. So no, I appreciate it. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for doing this. As always, take care of yourself and be the disciplined chef. Okay, that's what we're looking for.
Yes, I will. I'll do that.
Because if we don't, if you don't,
have a great week, Matt.
Right. If you don't, we're going to come and beat your ass, all right? There you have it, the All-Marine Radio Head Chef. Don't touch that dial. More of this program coming up next on your home for it, the All-Warrior Radio Network.